What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Boss Man Show. We got new head coach of the Ball State College, Chris Capel. Can we be on the Boss Man Show? Chris, good to talk to you, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm good, boss man. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, indeed. Well, man, let me tell you, man, I'm going to ask you first, how's it feel to be the head coach of Ball State, man, up there in Muncie, a historic tradition up there, man. Talk about just being the MAC, a great conference with a lot of great competition.
Yeah, it's been, obviously, man, I'm just at the start of this. So been there a couple months now, but league's a great league, great coaches, great players. Ball State is there is a tradition, like you said, but the problem is our tradition base dates back to the late 90s, early 2000s. And it's my job now to get and start building some tradition that matches up with what we had about 25, 26 years ago. So there's a lot of people in place. Man, Indiana is a basketball state. They care about basketball. They care about hoops. And there's people at Ball State who care, and they want to get behind something, and that's my job to give them something to get behind and give them something to feel proud about. But it's been a great transition for me. Muncie's been great to me and my family, and now just looking forward to kind of filling out this summer and then building as we move forward to the season, all that stuff that comes with it.
How much you leaned on your mentors in the coaching business, such as Coach Enfield, the guys you've worked for, kind of help you this transition to going from that 6 inches over from being assistant coach to the head coach? It's such a big jump, them 6 inches. So how's you leaning on those guys who've been head coach before to help you out with all these different things that have been thrown at you right now?
Yeah, honestly, I leaned on them guys more prior to getting the job. You know, I was 18 years as an assistant, so this makes 19 years in college basketball for me where – you know, I felt like I prepared myself pretty good for this opportunity because, I haven't been an associate head coach or whatever it was, 6 years or something like that, man. I knew at some point, man, that this opportunity was going to present itself, but I needed to kind of change the way I thought. And so I always try to give not suggestions to my head coach or to my boss, but options, right? Or try to give him definitive answers. And so a lot of this stuff, man, you know, I hadn't skipped steps in the coaching profession, right? So everything that's come across, I've been prepared for. And again, I talked to a lot of my mentors prior to getting the job, but since I hit the job running, I felt like I've been pretty prepared for everything that's gone on. That goes back to how I came up through the business. But again, every now and then, yeah, do I have someone I need to lean on? It's been good knowing I do have Coach Enfield and certain people in my corner. But they prepared me well before I got the job by giving me autonomy and within what I did. And now everything that's presented itself, I've already handled at one point or another.
And you know, Chris, being son of a coach, I know what you mean, because my dad was big on giving his assistant coaches responsibilities and delegation, and talk about how important it is so they can learn how to become a head coach or get that feel for owning a side of the ball per se, or special situations, or owning practice planning or whatever development. So talk about having coaches who actually allow you to work and not just do everything themselves and just say, hey, you just kind of here to be my soundboard per se, rather than actually you work and really get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was one of the biggest things I took from Coach Enfield, not only as to what I want to apply in terms of being a head coach, but also in terms of my growth, man. He gave me a ton of freedom and a ton of autonomy to make mistakes, but also learn. So when I am in these positions now that I feel like I'm prepared, I always would say as an assistant, man, it is my job to make sure I give coach a different thought of opinion, but also at the same time, I can't challenge him on everything either, right? So it was always finding that way to kind of, present what needed to be presented, whether it was challenges, plays, different things that come up. But I learned a lot of that through the freedom he gave me. And so, I've tried to do that with the people I've hired, making sure I bring in good people who are going to work, who care, who, if they get something wrong, which they will, because I will too, that we're trying to figure out how we can make something better, or so we don't make the same mistake twice. And through that freedom, allow them to grow, right? Allow them to grow, not just on the floor. A lot of part of being a head coach is, man, being able to grow off the floor in terms of getting to know your administration, knowing the NCAA rules, knowing the new rules around the CSC, just everything that comes with rev share now and all this stuff, man, is trying to allow them to grow not only as coaches, but in the administrative space as well. So when this opportunity presents itself for them, they're ready to take advantage of that as well.
And Chris, for you, I know I got through playing, I told my father, coaching is not for me. I'd rather just do radio or something else. My dad hated the decision. But for you, when you decided to get into coaching, when did the coaching bug kind of bite you, man?
Man, I kind of always knew I wanted to coach. When I graduated, man, I worked a real job at J.P. Morgan Chase. And it took me working a real job to realize, man, I want to coach. So, and then as you get older and you go through coaching, there's certain things that change. Like when I first got into the business, man, to be honest with you, I probably was not as concerned with helping young men grow, right? I was 24 when I got my first job. It wasn't that important. I just knew I wanted to coach. And when I worked my real job, I missed the camaraderie. I missed being at the practices. I missed being around the guys. I missed the travel, everything that comes with it, man, that makes things so special through good and bad times. And so once I worked that real job, I was like, man, I want to get back into this. And now as I've gotten older, man, you see the mistakes that young people make as they graduate or when they're in school, and that sometimes, man, life for these kids is not that easy. So I've done and taken more responsibility in trying to help people grow, not only holistically, but also providing them with the right resources once they graduate, and just try to mentor them more than probably when I did when I first got into business and all I cared about was coaching.
No, Dan, maybe it's Chris, man. With this whole new world of the portal, NIL, how has roster building changed for you and how you think about building a roster now? Because you can't go too many high school guys. You can't. You might have to go more portal, JUCO, experience guys to win games. You ought to go get old and stay old to win games. So kind of how was that chess match trying to put together a roster now for you being at Ball State now?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because each year you're basically, this year I brought in, well, first of all, everyone's new to me, but I retained two guys off of last year's team. And when you have less familiarity with the kids you have, it doesn't allow you to pinpoint what you need more specifically. You understand what I'm saying? So like if, for instance, I was able to retain six guys and I had, say I didn't want to use my 13th scholarship and I just had to sign six. Well, I have been through a season with six guys, right? I got a good feel for who they are, what their strengths and what their weaknesses are, because I've seen it on a day-to-day basis. So now when I go out in the portal, I can recruit more to their weaknesses, whether it's personality wise or on the floor. When you don't know anybody, that's when it becomes challenging. And although we think we get a good feel, I always say, whether it's who you work with or who you coach, you don't really know them until you're with them every single day. And now you really see them habits for better or for worse, right? And so that's what makes it tough, is you're trying to build this puzzle with a lack of familiarity and a little bit of unknown. Having said that, I bought into it and I've kind of faced the fact that this is probably going to be something that I'm going to have to do every year. And I'm okay with that. I actually, when it came time to recruit a lot of these guys and sell them on Ball State, I told a lot of them, look, man, if this thing goes how it's supposed to go for you, I'm not going to have you longer than a year. I know how this process goes. you know, the MAC, I think it was only one guy who was in the first, second, and third team last year actually stayed in the league. The rest of them ended up going on, right? So if you come in and have the productivity that I think you will with the opportunity I'm presenting, I know I'm not going to have you for long, and I'm going to have to reinvent this wheel all over again. And, you know, with that, it goes into the vetting process, the type of people I try to bring in our program, making sure that we really do a good job with that, that we're bringing good people and we've vetted that, as opposed to just taking people blind and being somewhat surprised when they get here. But it isn't an exact science, but it is the reality of where we're at, and we just got to make the best of it.
And like now, do you feel like you're almost an NBA general manager? Now you got to deal with NIL and budgets and negotiating with lawyers and trainers. Like, do you feel like you're like, almost an NBA now, having to try to manage all these people around these young men now to get them to actually commit to you?
Yep. I mean, I definitely am. We don't have a GM. Even when I was at SMU, man, we struggled to come up with a GM would actually do, because – you know, the model of it in the professional level is the GM who hires the coach and the hierarchy beneath him, right? Well, in the college level, man, the buck stops with me. It stops with the head coach. So you better be involved in every aspect of it, correct? Because, man, you know, you can hire a GM to take place with all that, but if you're not doing what you need to, man, your administration's coming for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with that, it does put more on you in terms of your demand. So I definitely do, man. I'm going back and forth with my deputy AD about language in a contract. I'm battling our budget. Now, I got great assistants who, you know, through this cycle, I thought did a good job in their roles, in certain roles, in terms of, you know, whether it was handling our salary cap or communicating with our administration or whatever. But a lot of times it was me who would have to do it, because I would have to make decisions on what we do. And then, you know, I don't sign a guy unless I talk to him, right? So you're recruiting, you're budgeting, you're communicating, you're dealing with language in a contract, you're negotiating salary, you're evaluating players. And that's all stuff a GM does. But again, anyone under me, I got to hire, I have to make these decisions. So I do have to be involved in this on a day-to-day basis to make sure that what we're doing is sound and responsible. And in the end, benefits all of us and benefits our program.
And Chris, this work y'all start here and up here real soon, when you get all the guys together, what's going to be the pillars for your team that you want these young men to understand this team will be about going forward here at Ball State? What are the main values for these guys to take away from your meetings together this summer to know when they come back in August, this is what we're going to be about as we get ready to tip off in November?
Yeah, so we, you know, we've had five guys this past week. So we actually started workouts last week. We're going to have guys this week individually, and then we'll get our whole team here June 15th. You know, the biggest thing for me as a first-time head coach and a new head coach, and what I haven't wanted to do is talk about the past, you know, as it doesn't matter to me what happened. I just know I'm here and we got to worry about what's before us. But also our guys need to know that there's going to be a standard in place. I'm here because things had not gone the way that our administration had hoped they would. And with that, we're going to set a standard in terms of how we show up, how we represent ourselves, what people think about us when they see us on campus. And there's going to be a standard that we hold every day and a process that we build towards every day, that whether we win or lose, what we need to handle, we make sure we handle. And that's going to be the biggest thing, is just instilling our standard and making sure our guys understand what we're serious about and doing that on a day-to-day basis. And if we do that stuff, the wins and losses, or the wins will come, but we need to make sure we handle our business in a certain way daily.
And Chris, what you've been first time here at coach, how much this workout system will be about install both defensively and offensively, or you just let these guys kind of play and evaluate what you have that maybe come August in those situations, maybe install more then?
Yeah, again, with all of our guys being new to me, we are going to install some. We're going to install, you know, we've talked to our staff a little bit about it. Our installation or our summer is going to be geared towards more offense. You know, we want to play a certain brand offensively, just like we do defensively too. But I want us to work on our offense more in the summer than I do necessarily our defense. With that being said, we're not going to set any plays. There's going to be no set plays. We're going to install basically our flow and certain concepts that we want to make sure our guys can play out of by the time we get to the fall. And some of the things and concepts that we go over, then we will address that defensively as well. We'll also start to talk to our guys about things that we will track. So stuff that is important to us, that if you were to ask our guys, hey, man, what is Coach Cal? What is important to him? They should be able to tell you, because we talk about it every day, we stat it every day, and we coach based on what we're trying to emphasize. And so we're going to do that. I do want our guys to play a lot in the summer as well. You know, one of the things is I've gotten older, man. We used to hoop a lot more when I was younger. Now these kids work out more. So I also want to make sure we're getting up and down and we're playing a lot of 5-on-5 because I don't know how much our guys are playing if it's not through us, you know, and that's okay. It's just different, right? So I want to make sure we play a lot. But we're going to gear most of our stuff through offense, defense. So we're just going to get our shell defense in, our pick and roll defense in. We will talk about some rebounding. We will talk some about transition defense and talk about some of the statistics that we're going to measure on the defensive side every day. But just give our guys kind of the blueprint as to what we want to do on that side of the ball so they can get accustomed to it as we move into the fall with the hope that hopefully we're a little further ahead.
Hey, Chris, been around the Hawks, man, where I am, man. We talk about flow and concepts all the time, man. Quinn was talking once you had that 0.5 mentality and just run through our concepts and the concept change based on the first on the court. So just hearing you say that, man, this is what I hear every day at work, man, when I'm around the Hawks.
Yep, I get it, man. I get it. One of my guys is with the Hawks, Onyeka Okongwu, man. I coached him. I was lucky enough to have him for a year. Big O, man. I love him.
Yes, 100%. The way he's shooting that three cap, man, is beautiful, man. I got that three ball down, man. He's a threat. He was actually our second best three-point shooter on the team was him.
Really?
Yes.
If you would have said that his 1 year in college, you would have never guessed it, but it shows you the direction the NBA is going and the work he puts into his game, man. He puts a lot of work and time into his game. He had 1-3 in college, and it was like an 80-footer at the end of a half.
Yes. Yeah, man. Hey, Cap, I see this dude work all the time on history. Every spot he can make a three, man. Yeah, I mean, I've seen it when he first started shooting them to where he is now. Man, night and day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Puts in night and day. Great dude. All-around great guy, too.
Yes, indeed. I got two more for you, man. Scheduling, man. How much of your phone blowing up? Guys want to play you the first time you're a coach. How much of your phone been blowing up, man?
Man, you know what? My phone has not been blowing up, and that's okay. I've been actually telling my staff and the guy who I put in charge of scheduling, man, use it against me, man. Say I'm in over my head, man. We're not very good, man. You're going to beat us by 50. You know, the MAC is a different animal because, one, we schedule 22 league games, right? So there's 22 right there. And we do a Sun Belt Challenge that has two games scheduled for us as well. So right off the bat, we have 24 games already scheduled for us. And then I inherited four series. So that's 28 games. And then we're trying to raise some money through NIL and stuff like that. So I need to get bought one or two times. So my schedule, kind of like the profile or the structure of it is already set. I only really got to find a couple more, but for the most part, we're basically done. My phone has not been blowing up like that, but, you know, we're almost done though.
Last one for you. Know, you probably know this, man. I have also a food podcast as well. So okay. We're foodies here on the Boss Man Show. So talk about the coolest spots you've ate in Muncie in the area so far since you've been at Ball State, man.
Man, they got a few of them, man. So I have an Indian guy on my staff named Manny Dosanjh. We went to Curry Nights, authentic Indian food. If anyone knows me, I love culture. So I love foods from different culture. So we've been there. They have two really good steakhouses in town, Lahoti's and then Adam Street Chop House. So both of those are really good. I love wings, love chicken wings. There's a place, 1925 Sports Pub and Grill. They got great chicken wings. I order those pretty much every time I go there. There's also a burger bar right across where I've been living at called Roots. Has really good burgers, man, really good burgers. So they've had a bunch of good spots, man, to be honest with you. Usually during the day, I've been staying around campus. And then at night, I know I'm missing one or two. You know, there's also a good middle America town, too. I've been to Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Roadhouse. Chili's. So I've been hitting all of them too. So it's been good to get back to my roots also.
No doubt. With Cap, man, you probably know it's also a new work for the Indianapolis Colts. So if it's early before the season starts, you want to come to a Colts game, let me know. I do home Colts home games as well, brother.
Okay. I'm going to hit you on that. We're going to show up. We're going to pull up to one of them games. I've been telling my staff already, we got to pull up to a Colts game.
Yes. And first game of the season is Baltimore against the Ravens.
I'm pulling up then.
Yes. Hey, man, it's fun to talk to you, man. It's been great. We'll do this again real soon. Close to season starts, brother. If you ever need me for anything, brother, I'm here to help you and your staff out, brother.
Appreciate you, boss, man.
BS3 Network. changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on BS3Network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.